So starting off, just like we have been lately, let's go ahead and put praise reports or prayer requests in the chat. And if you have something really important that you want to say out loud, put an X in the chat and I will call on you and you can come off mute. While you guys are doing that, I need to pray for myself because my time management has just not been what it should be. I don't know how it's possible, but quarantine has made me busier than ever. So just pray that I can make sure I give my best effort to everything that I have going on. Okay, I'm seeing April. April, prayers for my friend who is still in the hospital with lupus. Yes. Oh, and on a ventilator. That's so scary. I will definitely pray for that. I know we've been praying for your friend for the last few weeks, so we will continue to do that. Anybody else? Prayer requests or praises? Prayer requests or praises in the chat as we get started. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how are we doing?
Great. Do you have any prayer requests or praises to share?
Let me see. Prayer, friend of mine, he does have kidney stones and he's gonna need surgery. So I'll be in prayer for that. Praises. Praise that the Blockbuster is doing well. I'm excited that that's going well.
Yeah.
So, and pray for I do need prayer for a big. So there is a I've been in a business venture that has not been productive, and I feel God's calling me to cut it, and so I need wisdom on how to do that. It's not that it's a bad business idea; it just has not been something that has been fruitful for me, and I feel God's pruning it for other for and making room for other ministry endeavors and maybe even another idea down the road. I mean, there's plenty of ideas I have, but it just doesn't work, and I haven't had to have the discussion yet with a business partner saying I'm pretty much going to be very distant, and so I haven't done that. And I'm sure they'll be like, "Well, don't be a quitter." It's like, "Well, I just got to know where I got to go where God's grace is going," and God's like, "The grace isn't there." So,
Sure.
and it's not. I mean, I'll still send business their way, but I just got to make a call that is fruitful for me because I see him giving me opportunities elsewhere, including your blog, that's fruitful, and I don't want to keep. I just can't. Keep deferring. I can't be double-minded. He's had me and James for all day, so don't be double-minded.
Yeah, I definitely want to pray for guidance with that for sure. And if you guys didn't know, I have Matthew as a guest writer on my blog. If any of you are interested in writing or experiencing what it's like to write for a Christian blog, just go ahead and shoot me a message after this call on my Instagram. I'm happy to accept and consider all different writing styles as long as your topics are biblical. So that's just a quick little announcement for people who might be interested in writing. Keisha, please pray for finishing up the semester of school and a praise that I finished a final. Oh, yes, that is such a relief. I remember taking finals in college. I don't miss it. That's awesome, Keisha. Good for you. Jason, I will be back. Oh, okay, prayer for just to figure out what to do with my photography business and keep me focused on him, which I think him would be God. Yes, even though I don't know if Jason's back, but we will pray for that. Last call for prayer request or praises in the chat. I don't want to leave anybody out who wants to share. Okay, well, I'm not seeing anything pop up, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Do I have a volunteer today who'd like to have prayer for us? Put an X in the chat if you want to volunteer. Oh, silent group today. That's all right. I'm happy to pray. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and we'll have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today on this Tuesday evening. Thank you for guiding us and keeping us safe. We just want to lift up all the things that were mentioned. We have people with health challenges and people who are just looking for guidance in their lives, whether they're navigating school or navigating a business endeavor. We just ask that you continue to keep our eyes on you and reveal to us the best path that you have for us as we continue to use our talents for your glory. Be with all the other things that were mentioned, either on our hearts or in the chat that maybe I haven't specifically said. We know that you know everything about us, God, even the things that we don't know about ourselves. And we just want to give you full control of everything in our lives. We love you so much, and we cannot wait to meet you soon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, I am really excited to speak to you today about Hebrews chapter 6. I was really thinking about it today. I think Hebrews chapter 6 is possibly my favorite Hebrews chapter. I just really enjoy the focus that there is on the actions that we can take as Christians. And I think that some people could read Hebrews 6 and feel that it was a bit scolding or a bit reprimanding. But I think you'll see as we go through it today that it's actually very practical, and it really reveals to us what a true Christian character kind of looks like. So we're going to jump right into that. So the first thing we notice in Hebrews 6 when we get started is it actually gives us a continuation verse from Hebrews chapter 5. So the last portion of Hebrews chapter 5 was telling us basically that as Christians, instead of just settling for milk in our Christian journey, we want to graduate or grow up and start having food. And the food represents basically a deeper conversation and a deeper understanding of God. So as we start chapter 6, we see that theme continued of now that you know who Jesus is and Jesus has been on earth with you, it's time for you to get deeper and go deeper with your understanding of what he wants you to do with your life. So I want you guys to think about something. Something that came to me as I was reading this was I thought about when you go for a job interview. So think about a time, either something that's already happened or something in your future where you applied for a job that you really, really wanted. And go ahead and tell me, what was the job title, either that you've already had in the past or that you hope to apply for in the future? Put it in the chat. What's your dream job? Dream jobs in the chat. An ESL teacher. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. I used to work as a teacher as well. ESL is a special calling. You're helping people, kids, learn other languages. That's awesome, Keisha. Somebody else in the chat, dream jobs. I know growing up for me, I really wanted to be a dolphin trainer. That never happened, but that was my dream job when I was about 7 years old. Yes, Matthew has dolphins on his hat. Jason, landscape and wildlife photographer. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Jason is very passionate about photography and wildlife. That's awesome. I also like wildlife. Oh, he says, ultimately to work for National Geographic. Absolutely, that'd be an amazing job. Wow, the travel, that would be amazing. Let's get one more dream job in the chat. Got a teacher, photographer. To be like Guy Fieri. I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives guy. He goes around the country and eats food everywhere.
Oh, okay. I do know about that show. Okay, so like a kind of like a chef, I guess, in a way. But the
he is a chef. Yeah.
Okay, yes, Wits End Tech Cafe, gotcha, great. Okay, so I see a teacher, I see a photographer, and I guess I'm gonna call it a chef. So here's the thing, when you think about that dream job, do you wanna have that dream job just so people can call you that title, or do you wanna have that dream job because of what you get to do? So I'm actually gonna call on Keisha. Keisha, if you can come off mute and share. Do you just want to be called an ESL teacher, or do you actually want to teach?
I actually want to teach.
Okay. And that makes sense. Is there anybody in the chat who only wants the title and not the actual job? Put an X in the chat if you only want the title and not the job. I don't think I'm going to get any X's. So in the same way that you guys really want to have the, not just the title of that career, but also the action that comes with it, Christ is calling us to not just take on the title of Christian or the title of believer, but to also take on the character and the action. And that is what Hebrews 6 is really explaining. In Hebrews 6, we're finding out that it's not more important to have all the answers or all the knowledge or to be able to just go around and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm perfect, I've got it all figured out. That's not what is really important. That's nice, but that's not what's important. What's really important is the way that we carry out the responsibility of representing Christ. So we're going to read some verses. I want to go ahead and have somebody read for me Hebrews 6. It's going to be verse 4 to verse 8. 4 to verse 8. Put an X in the chat if you're willing to read Hebrews 6, 4 through 8. Come on, guys. I know someone can read this. Got to get you a little more talkative tonight. Thank you, Sunny. Go for it.
I'm sorry. What were the verses again?
Sure. It's going to be 4 through 8. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8.
It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned.
Thank you. Yes, that is perfect. So what we see there is once we have this blessing and we've been given these gifts from God to go out and carry out our ministry on the earth, we don't just want to take that and say, okay, I'm glad I got that. I'm good to go. We want to actually produce fruit, produce a crop. Be able to move forward in our progression of that relationship with Christ. And it goes on to say, verse 9 actually says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. And then it goes on, verse 10 through 12, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So I want you to think about a time where you shared Jesus with somebody. Or if you maybe can't really think of a time that you shared Jesus or you don't want a personal time, think of a time where you saw someone else or heard about somebody else sharing Jesus with someone. Give me an X in the chat if you have that in your head. I'm not going to call on you. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Okay, I'm seeing some X's. A time when you shared Christ with someone or witnessed somebody else sharing Christ, saw somebody else share Christ. And I want you to think about the way that they shared Christ, the tactic that they used. Think about, did that person go up and start accusing the person they were speaking to? Or did they go up and simply start being helpful or asking the person what their needs were? So it might seem like kind of an obvious question, but go ahead and put a S in the chat if you'd like to share what approach you think is the best approach when it comes to sharing Jesus. Based on what you've seen, what is the best approach? I saw Sunny first. Go for it, Sunny.
Oh, I've been unmuted this whole time. I forgot to mute myself again. Oh, crap. I hope I didn't say anything. I think that the most convincing approach is one that's foremost very loving, that's not trying to win an argument and be obnoxious. So I don't mean to talk about something that's super controversial, but on the topic of abortion, there are, I've noticed, two types of pro-life protesters outside an abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. One is very in your face, you're a murderer, for getting an abortion, you're going to hell, how could you possibly do this, you're such like subhuman trash. And then I've heard of another group of pro-life abortion protesters who stand outside of abortion clinics and they're like, hey, are you okay? Do you want to talk about something? Are you worried about money? Like, did something happen? Do you need a therapist? Mm-hmm. And like, I think the second type of approach is just a lot more tender and kind, and I think it would be a lot more effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being, as you always are, willing to mention something that is maybe controversial, but it's good for us to recognize. It's good for us to recognize that, especially in some of these tough situations when we have topics like abortion or the LGBTQ community or people who are living with people that they're not married to, anything that in the Christian community is generally looked down on, we have to be very mindful of our approach to those people, because as you mentioned, we want to lead with love. Keisha, I saw you also put an S. Is it Keisha or Kesha? I'm feeling bad if I'm calling you the wrong name.
No, you got it right. It's Keisha.
Okay, perfect. Keisha, go for it.
I think one of the things you actually already talked about, I used to be a Bible worker for the Central States Conference, and the number one thing that we can do as fellow Christians is just ask the needs of people, like see where people are at and then meet those needs. Don't even talk about Christ, but exhibit Christ, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I really agree with that. And I really appreciate you sharing your perspective as a Bible worker, because I think that you've really been in the trenches in a sense, in the community. And it's so true that people tend to be, especially in today's modern age, very defensive when it comes to religion, because their picture of religion is a wrathful God, judgment, burning in hell, people telling them how to live their life, people condemning how they live their lives. So we don't want that to be what we lead with. That's not a good reputation to have. So we have to be mindful of what their perceptions are. Even if their perceptions are not always correct, we still have to think about what their perceptions are. I saw somebody else, Jason said, I got an ask last year about my religion at the community college that I used to go to. Jason, did you want to share a little bit more about that? I think you're muted. It's okay if you don't, that's fine. But that's a great example, because a lot of us might not have always been in a Christian environment. And so when you're in the quote unquote real world, you're gonna run into a lot of people with a lot of different perspectives, and they're gonna challenge you on what you believe in. Okay, no problem, Jason, that is totally fine. We're gonna continue to go on. So again, I think the whole theme of this chapter is really just a focus on our actions. And I always wonder, something I always think to myself is how much more effective, how many more people would have come to Christ by now if we truly just really went the extra mile when it came to community service, when it came to something called servant leadership, just really embracing the character of Christ and also embracing the Ten Commandments, and not just bragging about the fact that we understand those things, but rather putting those things into practice. And I think as we move forward in the future of the world, it's going to become more and more important for us to lead with love, and that leading with love is going to open up people's hearts and minds to the knowledge that we are then able to share with them. I think so often we kind of do things backwards. We come out and we say, oh, I've got all the Bible truth and I'm going to give it all to you, like really hardcore. Oh, but by the way, also Jesus loves you and I love you and that's why I'm giving you all this. And it's well-intending, but I think we have to be careful about what we present first so that people will be open to what we are also going to share with them in regards to having truth and having things from the Bible. And then I wanted to also just close on this last verse that's very, very famous, and many of you have likely heard it. It is actually also the lyrics to a popular summer camp song that I used to sing. And that is in chapter 6, verse 19. And I'm going to read it, and you're welcome to read along. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And that's that Melchizedek character from Genesis that we talked about last week. So again, we have to remember that I think the reason the chapter closes with this reminder that Jesus is what gave us salvation is because the whole chapter is focusing on something that could be mistakenly taken as faith by works. So, oh, I have to do this good thing. I have to treat people nicely because I want to have salvation. But Hebrews 6 is not saying that we're going to treat people nicely because we want salvation. It's saying that because we have salvation, we're going to treat people nicely. And I think it's also pointing out that often a sign of maturity in a Christian's walk of faith is how they treat people. It's kind of interesting that the people who are the first to speak, the first to condemn, those people might tell you that they're very mature in Christ, but often they lack the understanding and the knowledge that you find when you get deeper into the Bible. And that is that we have these truths, but they're rooted in love and they're rooted in Christ wanting the best for us. And that's why we see that really maturity and treating people kindly go hand in hand. Half of the Ten Commandments talk about how we can love God, and half of the Ten Commandments talk about how we can love other people. And I think we reach that true, perfect mindset when we are able to embrace both of those aspects completely. So that is what I have for you guys today. I kept it a little shorter because I know we've been running long and I want to be mindful of your time, but I also want to allow us to just have a quick moment for discussion. Do you have any questions about Hebrews 6 or about anything, comments or questions about anything that we discussed tonight? Put an X in the chat if you'd like to share. Questions or comments? Matthew, I know I could always count on Matthew. Go for it.
I was holding back tonight to give other people a chance to talk. But no, I actually wanted to share, to kind of go back earlier, about an encounter that I had actually of I guess you could call it sharing the faith, standing up for the faith, defending, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. And Reggie's very familiar with this story because I shared this with him. Reggie, I'm about ready to drop the God the Mother story here. So I went to the mall a few years back, just walking around the mall. I like to walk around, well, when we could. I like to walk around the mall and just, it's almost like a therapy for me. Just like walk around the mall and just walk around the mall. Just go, sometimes I just, I have, you know, walk around days. Solo and just have fun. Olden days, yeah.
Yeah.
I was approached here at the mall by a couple guys, and at first I thought they were sales guys, you know, they're just like salesmen, and but they was like, "Hey, can you help us? We're theology students. We need help with an assignment or something." And I'm gonna give the condensed version because it's a long story, but I'll make it short.
Sure.
And I said, "Sure." And they start going through their presentation, and I'm trying to say, I'm trying to peg what religion they are. At first, I thought they're Mormon, but I thought, no, they don't have the elder badge on, so they're not Mormon. Mm-hmm. Are they Jehovah's Witness? No, they're not Jehovah's Witness. And then they started saying some things, and like, well, have you heard of God the Mother? And I said, yes, that's an LDS teaching, because I went to seminary, and I learned about different religions, and they immediately, their face just was like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. And they said, yes, we're not Mormon. So I'm like, okay, well, they're not Mormon, but they believe in God the Mother. Sorry, so I keep going. And so they kept saying some things, and I knew it wasn't doctrinally right. I knew it wasn't God. I knew it wasn't Christianity, so but I don't know where they are or where they're coming from. So I'm bringing this up because a lot of people, they don't like sharing their faith. They don't like answering questions of people of a different belief system because they don't have all the answers. I didn't know anything about these guys other than that they didn't believe in the fundamentals of the faith, that they were, there was some form of heretical cult activity going on here, but I didn't know which one it was. I already ruled out Mormonism because they admitted they weren't that. But I'm thinking, well, they're not Jehovah's Witness. They're not. They have some form of Christianity, but I don't know what they are. And they keep talking about God the Mother. I'm like, okay, so they believe in God the Mother. So they're believing that there's a fourth person, I guess, to the Godhead. Mm-hmm. So I just keep asking questions. And the only thing that I asked, I didn't try to, like, I did ask them where this was in Scripture, and their answer was humorous. They're like, it's New Jerusalem. I'm thinking, okay, that's not it. But I asked them repeatedly who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key that you always have to have when you encounter somebody of a different faith, is who is Jesus? Because that's ultimately all that matters. Mm-hmm. Who is Jesus? And when I was listening, basically Jesus was somebody for a certain dispensation of time, but God the Mother was for this present dispensation of time. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately all I needed to know. And then I just quoted scriptures. Oh, what about John 3:16? Or what about salvation? What about Romans? You know, what about this? And they were starting to sweat. And I could tell that they were starting to sweat, and they're starting to get really antsy. And they're like, they gave the, and I've had sales training, and I know when they're licked. These are questions that are too deep to discuss right now. Can we have a time later where we can meet with our pastor with you? And I said, no, I don't really want to do that. And they're like, oh, okay. Because I didn't want to keep drawing it out with them, because it would have been a waste of time. But the point was, the whole time, I really didn't know what I was doing other than asking questions about mm-hmm. who is Jesus, what is his role, and if you ever are talking to somebody and he's anything less than the Savior, and a lot of people say, well, he's a good teacher, he's a good prophet, or we believe in him, but so-and-so is helping him out. You have problems, and that's where they were, and that's all I needed to know. And so I didn't need to know everything else. I didn't need to have like an MDiv and all these different, you know, pastor church to be able to combat what they're talking about. And I think a lot of Christians feel that they have to. So that was a moment where it was exciting for me, because I was able to in a way witness to them.
Sure.
By combating what they believed, and all I did was just bring to light who Jesus, the nature of who Jesus was, and they couldn't answer it biblically. And then now was when I could say, well, yeah, but what about, you know, as he's the only one way, truth, and life, no one comes to the Father except to me. Or I can't remember all I said, but it was along that line. And it got him, I could tell it got one of them thinking, you know, because if you're in a situation like that, one was, I guess, the student, and one was, I guess, the trainer or the whatever, you know, I mean, the more experienced one, and the more experienced one, the handler, I guess, what they go by a lot of different names. They were pulling him away, because one was, he kept looking at him like, what do I do? Like, you could just see the wheels were like, this is not computing. You could see the sparks flying in the head like, oh no, the gears are about to burst. And so he couldn't answer it. And so the one guy's like, we gotta get out of here, because this guy knows his stuff. Because a lot of, in that position, they go off of spiritual ignorance. That's why it's important to stay in the Bible.
So, yeah, Matthew, thank you for sharing. I am going to bring you in, because we're on time limit, but I do appreciate it. And I think you brought up some good points. I think one of the points that you made is, you know, how do we really relate to people when we all have sometimes very different outlooks on things? And so I think that if you're going to have any sort of discussion, I don't like to call it an argument. I don't think you should ever go into it trying to have an argument, but discussion or a conversation about what you believe and what someone else believes, I think you have to be able to establish some stuff. I think one of the biggest things to establish is the Bible itself. It's very hard to talk about something that's faith-based or something like Jesus or God if the person you're speaking with already has discredited the Bible. I think it's really important for us to kind of know that as Christians, that we really have to pick and choose our battles, because if somebody has already discredited the validity of the Bible, they're not necessarily really open to hearing all the rest of what you have to say, because everything you're going to say is rooted in a book that they've discredited. So I think it's just good to be mindful of that when you're approaching people, and always remember that you can really only share your experience. You can say, I believe this because. You can't say you have to believe or you should believe, or the way you believe is wrong, even if you think that, that's never going to be an approach. It's very rare that I've ever heard somebody who told me, oh yeah, I became a Christian or I accepted Jesus because someone told me I was wrong. I mean, it happens, but I think that usually it takes a bit more work than that. So it's just a good thing to think about. And maybe if any of you guys are really sincerely interested in having a further discussion about reaching out to people of different faiths, I'd be happy to chat with you on that. Because yeah, as Daniel in the chat is saying, it's a heated discussion. It's touchy. It's challenging. Okay, I think I saw somebody else. I'm gonna go ahead. We're gonna stop at 8:45, so I will take someone else. I see Reggie was next. Reggie, what comment or question did you have? Is Reggie still here?
Yeah, I see him.
There we go. Oh, Reggie, I can't hear you.
Hear me now?
I can.
Okay, so real quick, my good buddy, Kevin, who I keep asking for prayer for, he is a person who went down the rabbit hole a long time ago and been struggling to get out of it. So he's a conspiracy theorist. He doesn't always get in. He doesn't always believe. He always questions God's morality. As far as, oh, you see all this trouble in this world, why doesn't your God do anything about it? So and I talked to him on many levels of he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to think about God because then he'll be forced to see that God is real. And he's always trying to be moralistic himself, but he has a lot of failings, like very obvious things he does because he's very hedonistic. So he's hedonistic. He believes in truth and justice. He thinks God should intervene more often. And he asks where God is during this coronavirus. And, you know, he's very combative when he gets into stuff like that. So I don't really know what to say other than I've been trying to speak to him about, he's a real God and he does this and that. But he's been like the person I witnessed to the most in the last like year.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And that's real. Thank you so much for sharing. I think we all have, we either have or we will have someone who we can relate to in some regard to that. Yeah, absolutely. I think that I'm going to touch on some things that we've talked about before. So the first thing is that anything revolving around God is just a heart issue. It really is. It's really a personal decision. And so we can share what we know and why we know it and why we believe in it. But at the end of the day, we cannot force somebody else to make that decision. And it's very hard for us because when you're revealed, when everything is revealed to you and you see how important it is to understand God and have this relationship with God, it can be very frustrating to not be able to have other people see it as well. But we do have to remember that it's not our job to force it. I think the other thing is you're taking a great approach. You're praying. And I think and I've said this also before, we discredit prayer. We're so used to instant gratification. We're so used to all the things happening in society with technology that we forget that Christ never called us to save people. He said to be fishers of men, but we're not the heart of the thing. We're just like the tool that's being used. And so it's important to think about that it's Christ, it's the Holy Spirit working on someone's heart that's ultimately going to change their viewpoints and their ideas about things. And I think the other thing, last final thought before I jump to someone else, is that we might never know what we've said and how it's impacted someone. There will be times in your life, and there are times that we see in other people's lives where they share something and it seems like it went nowhere. And maybe they died, or maybe the person they shared with died. And down the road, we find out from a family member or from the person that actually 20 years later or 10 years later or 5 months later, something happened and it brought that to mind. And that actually was a big moment for them. So we just really can't underestimate the power of God. I think you're doing an amazing job. And for anybody who's in that same kind of situation, I just really encourage you to stick with prayer, trust that, like, if God saved you, God's going to save and reach and open the eyes of other people. And also that at the end of the day, it's their choice. And that's the big thing, big pill to swallow, but it is their choice. Okay, let's see. I wanted to grab one more person. I think I will see how it goes with time, but I'm going to grab Tim. Tim, what did you want to share?
Okay, I'll be short. I was going to share something, but that's a longer story, but I'm more just for advice, because some of my friends who I'm witnessing to, I'm starting to be concerned if I'm getting in the way as far as, like, reaching out to them, because I know I have my own personality, and guys try to do different things in their lives. And I don't know, I don't want, you know, my tendencies, whether it be how I handle discussions or how I deal with other people's opinions, sideline them or sidetrack them from seeing God. I don't know if that's even a real concern, but it has been a concern for me the last few weeks that maybe some things that I'm doing is throwing them off.
Sure. And I think, again, that's a really normal feeling to have. I think that, again, going back to what I said to Reggie, when you feel so passionately about it, you know, sometimes the passion comes off as like aggression or like, you know, demanding your way, but it's not that. It's just that you just really believe in it. And I think sometimes we also, if we don't see the results that we think we need to see, we do internally go, oh my goodness, what if this is my fault? And so, you know, I think it's a fine line that we have to walk. I don't think there's a perfect answer or a magical phrase or solution. But I think we do have to be mindful of how we're coming across. You know, if you've already presented your case, sometimes I think we think if we repeat it enough times, then the person will get it. Usually they got it the first time. and they just chose not to embrace that. So we have to be mindful of how many times we're trying to make our point. And it goes back to what we were saying in Hebrews 6, just by your actions, just being in their life, being a positive figure. Coronavirus is a great opportunity to demonstrate why is that person so peaceful? Why is that person so joyful? Why is that person not panicking despite everything that's happening? Those are the moments where some of that knowledge and stuff that's been shared in the past can be brought to mind. Because they're now seeing, well, not only did that guy tell me some really interesting stuff, but like his life is, it's looking pretty good. He's looking pretty happy and I want to be happy. So, you know, that's just something to consider. If you feel like you're offending the person, maybe take a break from talking about it and just live by example for some time, you know, and see how that goes. Gotcha. You just never know. But don't feel alone. Like, I think it's really normal. We have all been there and felt that way. I think final thought as we're wrapping up, unless I don't see any other exes, but if I have another one, you can drop it quickly. Final thought would be, I don't know if you guys have pets or how you feel about animals, but I really think that there's a significance to the relationship between your pets and people. I think God gave us animals to give us a bit of insight. So when you see your pet, maybe it's a cat or dog or whatever you have, going out in front of a car, because they're distracted by something, obviously your reaction is to rescue them. And so I think that God feels the same way with us, and I think we feel the same way when we see people in our lives who are doing stuff that we really feel is not healthy or safe. But that doesn't mean that they see it. Like with your animals, your pets, you know, it's different dynamics, but we don't always see what God sees, and our friends don't always see, or our family members don't always see what we see. And so it's just important for us to remember that what's obvious to us is not always obvious. And that doesn't mean that the person doesn't love us or that we don't love the person or the pet or whatever. But it's a different dynamic. All right, guys. Well, this was great. Thank you so much to everybody who shared. I'm really enjoying this. I'm so glad that some of you guys have been so committed. We are halfway through Hebrews. It only has 13 chapters, so we're right around halfway. And I hope that you guys have been learning and enjoying the conversations. I try to keep it relevant, and I really do appreciate you coming on each week consistently. It means a lot to me, and I think it's just good for us all to have these chats. So with that, let's go ahead and wrap up with prayer. And I don't know if Tim made it, so I'll let Tim say what he needs to say after we pray. So let's have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together once again. And thank you so much that we can have a safe space where we can talk about some of the stuff that we are facing as we reach out to other people who don't always see things from the same perspective or have the same biblical knowledge that maybe we've found for ourselves. It can be very overwhelming and hard to feel like anybody understands us and what we're trying to say. So thank you so much that we can have this time to find like-minded people and really just discuss and talk about some of the things that you might want us to do as we reach out to our friends and family. Help us to continue to remember to live first and foremost out of love and out of an example. That attitude of service, God, we just want to become more and more like you in that area, especially right now with COVID-19. We love you so much. Once again, I just want to remind all of us and also just bring up to you again, God, the prayer requests that were mentioned. We know those are burdens on our hearts and we just want to give those to you. We love you so much. We cannot wait to see you soon. In Jesus' name, amen.